Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Morning and welcome to The Flatline. I am your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few moments, I would invite you to stay with me because we're going to have some time of motivation, inspiration, education, and never any manipulation. We don't play games. We're not trying to coerce anyone to doing anything. No solicitation for money, not trying to sell you anything. We just want to give you some accurate information. Information which we hope will help you verify and identify the plan of God for your life. If you can do that, you have the freedom, you have the privilege, the right to orient and adjust to the plan. It's your life. You live it one day at a time. You make your decisions one decision at a time. And it is my prayer that you will listen to the things that we say and understand that the greatest single decision you could ever make in your life is to believe that Jesus Christ is the anointed Son of God. Jesus himself said it in John 6:40, "This is the will of the one that sent me, that you believe in me, whom he hath sent." It is critical that you investigate the claims of Jesus Christ and make a decision once and for all to believe that he is the anointed Son of God. Why is that critical? Because the Bible says, "He that believes in him shall never perish, but have everlasting life. And he that believes not shall not have life, but the wrath of God will abide upon him forever." It's just that simple. You know, on this radio show, we talk about the flatline, F-L-O-T. The flatline is a synonym for the spiritual life. We're dealing with the spiritual life of the Christian, how he can establish a main line of resistance inside of his soul that will stop the outside sources of adversity before they become the inside source of stress. You've often heard me say adversity is inevitable and stress is optional. So as you listen today, I want to talk about a particular subject that I think is very seldom mentioned in regards to the spiritual life. I recently spent some time with a friend, and I asked him a simple question. I said, "Can you tell me how to be a good Christian?" And of course, the answer was, "Not really." But he was a Christian. And let's don't forget this. You know, the Bible says in Jeremiah, here's God's words through the prophet Jeremiah. This is what God said: "I'm looking for people that know me and understand me." It's possible, as I said to my friend last night, it's possible that you know God, but you don't understand the God you know. And it's very possible that a lot of Christians may not understand what sin actually is sometimes. Sometimes we relegate sin to the big three: don't drink, don't dance, don't smoke, you know, stuff like that. And we have a tendency to miss out on what the real sins might be sometime. Let me remind you that sin comes in three areas: things that you do, things that you think, and things that you say. Mental attitude sins, sins of the tongue, and overt sins. You can actually sit in your easy chair at home, read the newspaper in the evening, and sin, and never get out of your chair. And that's part of what we're going to talk about today. How can you sin and never get out of your chair, never do anything? Well, actually, you are doing something. You're doing something mentally. Mental attitude sins are the most unrecognizable sins that we have. And if you listen to someone talk, if you're in a conversation with someone and they like to talk, if you listen to them talk, you may begin to see where their weaknesses are as they begin to posture themselves, or in essence, they will strut by means of their conversation about what they would or would not do, about what they have or don't have, or what they have done or have not done. People like to strut by means of conversation. This is something that I want to talk to you about today. the conversation that deals with bitterness. Oftentimes you can be around someone and it doesn't take long to find out that even though they are a Christian, even though they have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and even though they're not drinking, smoking, gambling, all that stuff, you know, all the stuff that they tell you not to do, don't drink, don't smoke, don't gamble, don't wear makeup, don't chew tobacco, you know, you've heard all that. But they don't tell you this one. They don't tell you that bitterness is a mental attitude sin. Listen to the Bible as we go through this today with you. Ephesians 4:31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, along with malice. The word bitterness is the word picria in the Greek New Testament. We are going to examine that word today, but we're going to look at some other text as well. But first of all, we start off with a mandate from Paul the Apostle to the Christians in the town of Ephesus. The mandate is, do not be bitter. Do not have anger. Do not have explosive anger, which is wrath. Do not clamor. Clamor is an onomatopoeia in the English. It's where the word sounds like what it means, and the word means to make the sound of the crow. And a person that's bitter often does that, runs around barking all the time. Evil speaking, that's slander, malicious rumors. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you, along with malice. And malice is the desire to hurt someone. Hebrews 12:15 goes on to say, looking diligently lest any man fail the grace of God, and a root of bitterness spring up, troubling you, and by that, or by the bitterness, many are defiled. The word bitterness. In Acts 8:23, we find the story, and I'm going to read it to you if you don't mind. I'm going to read you, actually, Acts 8:5-25. Here's the way it is. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. By the way, Philip was an evangelist and a tremendous evangelist, but he disappeared from the scene after this episode. However, he pops back up later, and it appears that he fell in love and got married in the town of Caesarea and had four daughters. Anyhow, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spoke, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsy, and many that were lame, were healed. And there was a great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, who previously in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great person, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this Simon is a great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that for a long time he bewitched them with his sorcery. But when they believed Philip's preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, and they were baptized, both men and women, then Simon himself believed also. Did you hear that? Simon believed also. That's a testimony that Simon became a believer. Simon believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. When the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. This is for a little follow-up. Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only the ones that were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And they laid their hands on him, and they received the Holy Spirit on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. And he said, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said unto him, "Your money perish with you, because you have thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness." You hear that? In the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, "Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken come upon me." And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. We heard the word gall of bitterness, and we heard about Simon the sorcerer, or Simon Magus. The discovery here is that he wanted to take this power. He coveted this supernatural power of Peter and John, the apostles. They discovered that he coveted this power, and they disregarded him because of that. Peter said, "I perceive that you are in the gall of bitterness." In other words, you have the wrong motivation for this power, and you are in the bond of iniquity. Or he sought power and he sought honor by means of his finances. And obviously, he hoped to make money with this new power, because this is exactly what he had done in the past. You see, what happened here is that Philip was preaching in Samaria, and he experienced a tremendous revival. Simon, the sorcerer, had used his power in the past to receive money and fame from the people of Samaria. But then he was converted, and he followed along with Philip, tagged along behind him. Now, you can imagine a man in the ministry, and here he is, a man of wealth and power, associates with a man in the ministry, and he wants to go along with him. And the man in the ministry doesn't see the danger of this. He allows this man of wealth and power to help him, maybe buy things for him, maybe assist him. And listen on as we go along. Peter and John came down and laid hands on them. So that's the converts in Samaria, so that they would receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Apparently, up to this time, only the apostles could do this. Philip didn't have this ability. Only the apostles. And Simon saw what happened. And basically what he tried to do was to buy in. He offered money to buy in. So Peter saw something that Philip had not seen before this. And the principle is this: be careful of people with money who seek to buy influence for their own use. Did you hear me? Be careful of people who have money who seek to buy influence for their own use. This is especially true of anyone that might be listening who's in the ministry. Be very careful if you associate with someone who is very wealthy. They must have the right motives, or that association could turn out to be a bad thing. Simon was indeed a believer. Acts 8:13 says that. But he longed to have the recognition in the world of believers just like he had had the recognition in the world of the unbelievers. And Peter said, "You are in the gall of bitterness." He was jealous of the apostles. This is one of the indications of bitterness, is jealousy. He was jealous of the power that the apostles had. Prior to them coming to town, he had been the main attraction. And now he was no longer the main attraction. He wanted to be recognized and to have the same power they had. He coveted that power, and he was jealous of their power. And he assumed that they would sell him this. They assumed that money could buy influence. And in many religious denominations, money does buy influence. Hopefully, not in yours, not in mine. Because we know if anyone wants to give us unto the Lord, that's fine. And we receive as from the Lord. That's the way it should be. But we never ask people for money, at least I don't. We never solicit money. We never hustle up money. We wait on the Lord to provide the funds. And as he provides, then we press on. The bond of iniquity that Peter said he was in was the mental attitude sin of covetousness. He was coveting the power of the apostles. And he was about to commit the sin of simony. Simony. S-I-M-O-N-Y. I know you never heard of it before. It's the act of selling things that are spiritual value. It's unlawful to sell or bestow an office or a power within the church. It's called simony. And he was about to commit that. Hebrews 12:15. Let's go back to that passage. Here in Hebrews 12:15, we read it to you earlier. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, and a root of bitterness spring up, troubling you, and by this many are defiled. Here's the principle. Bitterness defiles other people. Bitterness, if you're bitter, you can infect other people. Here's the principle. The bitter person will always try to recruit other people by means of slander or maligning the party that he's bitter towards. You hear me? The bitter person will always recruit others by means of slander or maligning the party that he is bitter towards. And secondly, once the guilty party recruits others, they become infected with his miaino. I know you say, what is miaino? Bitterness defiles other. Bitterness, pikria, defiles miaino, others. Miaino. Miaino, M-I-A-I-N-O. It means to pollute or to contaminate or to dye with stain or color. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 8:7, the conscience being weak, people are defiled. Defiled, and this is dealing with people that observe Christians doing things they shouldn't do, and they don't have enough doctrine to understand it, and so their conscience is defiled when they see you do something. In other words, the word defiled in that passage is not the same word as used in Hebrews 12:15. I'll make an issue about this. Listen carefully. Defiled can be translated maluno, M-O-L-U-N-O, maluno, or miaino. Maluno or miaino. And they're both translated defiled in the English. Maluno means to smear with matter as a pig rolls himself in the mud and covers his body in mud. But miaino means to stain as to dye a garment and change its color. So someone whose conscience is defiled means that they become crusted over. so that they become hard or hard of heart. If you color the victim of your bitterness a different color, let's go to the other word, miaino. If you color the victim of your bitterness a different color, then what you're doing is making people think that they are something they are not. In other words, you're trying to make me believe that that person is red when he's actually blue. You're counterfeiting the real person by creating a false image of what that person is. And that's what it means, miaino. It means to color the person a different color than they actually are. But to have your conscience defiled is the word meluno, which means hardened. And this is something called scar tissue, or hardening of the heart. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, the Bible says we must cease our bitterness, that there is no room for bitterness. No room for bitterness in the family of God. Did you know that? Bitterness is a mental attitude sin. It is a root emotional sin. It is wrong. And when you are bitter towards someone, as you'll see here in a minute, you're sinning. Even if that person hurt your feelings, even if that person took your money, you have no right as a Christian to be bitter. Never. There will be things happen in your life that you can do one or two things. You can react or you can respond. If you react with bitterness, you'll destroy yourself. If you respond with forgiveness, you'll move on in life and have a wonderful life. But if you hold a bitter grudge or you get bitter, you will destroy your life. The issue is forgive the person who wrongs you, forget what they did to you, and fast forward in your life past it. In other words, go on down the road. Don't stand in the middle of the road looking back, angry and bitter about what happened. Because bitterness can cause mental instability in your life. That noun, pikria, as translated bitterness in the Bible, always refers to animosity, hostility, jealousy, and it's part of anger and harshness. These are all mental attitude sins in your life. Bitterness is like pulling the pin of a grenade. You know, a grenade has to implode before it explodes. And when you get bitter, you implode before you explode. You can fragment your life. A grenade explodes in fragments, bits and pieces. It's shaped like a pineapple, and bits and pieces explode. It goes off in 200 or 300 different directions, small fragments of metal. A believer can fragment his life by pulling the pin of the grenade called bitterness. And it always, inevitably will result in hatred, cruelty, antagonism, self-pity, implacability, vindictiveness, and revenge motivation. Did you hear that? When you pull the pin of the grenade, when you get bitter, when you react with anger, you are fragmenting your life, and you will live in hatred. You will be cruel to the person that you don't like. You will be antagonistic to the person that you don't like. You will have a self-pity party. You might even bake yourself a little cake and have a little pity party because of the way that person treated you. You will become implacable towards that person, vindictive, and you will seek revenge. Bitterness is inconsistent. It's irrational. You know, you cannot even have a rational relationship with a person that's bitter. And the reason is he doesn't think logically. Bitterness is the greatest form of arrogance in the soul of any person because it's motivated by self-pity or a selfish attitude that's inconsiderate, withdrawn, and indifferent. Did you hear me? Bitter people are motivated by self-pity, a selfish attitude that's inconsiderate, withdrawn, and indifferent. Bitterness is always the basis for self-justification. Self-justification is the beginning of the arrogant skills. Just like there are spiritual skills, 10 of them, making up the flat line, there are 3 arrogant skills: self-justification, self-deception, self-absorption. And bitterness is self-justification. It's the basis for self-justification. Because you say, because of what happened to me, I have a right to be bitter. And you don't. And then you will malign the person that you're angry at. You will lie about it. You will try to get other people on your side. You will spread malicious rumors and gossip. And you will be vindictive and implacable towards that person. Bitter people wind up with few friends. Proverbs 14:10 says that a stranger cannot share in the joy of your bitterness. You know what that means? When you meet people, you're going to talk about the things that are prevalent in your life, and your life centers around your self-pity. So you're going to immediately tell people what somebody did to you. You're not going to have very many friends like that. Nobody wants to listen to that garbage. Bitter people wind up lying to themselves. And it is the quickest way to destroy your spiritual life, since that bitterness is a complete self-absorption and a complete divorcement from reality. I hope you've listened. I hope you don't get trapped in the gall of bitterness. It's very important we understand mental attitude sins and what they can do to us. Until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.